And welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and sometimes recommendations for whatever we read that week. Amy, what did we read?
We read I, The Wed by Amanda Quick.
Delightful. And I have...
A fact?
No.
A fun fact?
Well, actually, yes, I do have a fun fact.
Tell us your fun fact about Amanda Quick.
Amanda Quick is actually a pseudonym of another author. Well, same author? How does that work? Whatever. It's a pseudonym for Jane Anne Krantz, who writes modern...
Contemporary
romance, paranormal...
Romance
novels. Yeah.
Wow, you made a mess of that. And the other fun fact we have is that I remember we originally picked up a Amanda Quick years and years ago because in the author description said she chose the surname Quick so that she would sit next to Julia Quinn on the bookshelf. And we were like, that's why we bought that.
Yes, because you were right there. And we were like, that looks like a Julia Quinn. Oh, no, it's Amanda Quick.
All right, let's buy that.
Yes. 100%. So those are our two fun facts. So when she writes in her Regency romance voice, she is Amanda Quick. And when she writes contemporary romance, she is Jane Anne Krantz.
Great.
And Amy, would you like to attempt the spoiler-free recap?
Yeah, I do. All right.
Off you go. I have so much faith in you, Amy. You will hear no words out of me.
Which we all really doubt. Two main characters. The lady is Emma. She is a lady's companion and she has no money. She's got a sister. She's orphaned. She made some bad investments, so she has to work for a living.
She invested in a ship coming from like a shipment during trade or whatever, and the ship has been lost at sea.
Yeah, she...
So she's hopeful.
She's heard no news
of
it.
Yeah, it's overdue by months, so she's hopeful it will return. But
is expecting that there are other ways that she's going to need to make her
income. And she has, like, all that she had left. She kind of put all of it in.
So she needs to be able to pay her sister's school fees. Her sister's at school. And she has got herself a position with Lady Mayfield, I think her name is, as Lady's companion. And they are at a house party at Ware Castle in the country. The other character's name is Edwin Stokes.
Correct.
And Edwin Stokes is a man of the ton. But his, it's not a spoiler, his father was a lord or an earl and his mother was a governess in that household. So he's illegitimate.
He is illegitimate.
He has a grandmother who survives, neither of his parents survives, and there's a really bad feeling between them. His father acknowledged him.
Because his father was a bit of a rake, well, not a bit of a rake, but a rake and a rascal and a horrible person. And he died before he had an heir.
Yes.
Yes, he died without any actual legitimate male heir. So the surviving grandmother hates Edwin because he is an illegitimate heir and also an example of how she totally failed as a parent.
Which she will not acknowledge. So Edwin and Emma meet at this house party. Edwin's there because he is looking for something that has been stolen and he has come to believe that it is in someone's possession at this house party. How am I going so far?
You're doing great.
Awesome. So can I talk about the thing that's been stolen?
Yeah.
That's what's been stolen is essentially a magic book. And it's important to note
nobody believes it is actually magic.
It's got like recipes in it and it's part of this sort of ancient wise.
They're the monks of Venzagara.
That's right.
And it's a little island and Edwin went there as a boy, kind of as a lost youth, and he studied the ways and there's like a martial art. It's like a way where you follow a certain bunch of tenets and there's a whole bunch of rules of combat and things like that.
And so it's an ancient order. And they have some sort of special like recipes and secrets and things like that. And he's part of this ancient order, but the book's gone missing and he's there to find out who's got it and who's got these particular stolen recipes.
And the reason he is found out is because someone has bought the ingredients for one of the recipes that will allow the drinker of the recipe to, it will enhance your natural intuition and allow you to predict the turn of a card. And because obviously great estates are won and lost.
Over the gambling table,
exactly.
This is high stakes.
Yes.
So it's also some people have been killed over this stolen book that happens right in the first chapter.
Yeah.
And the sort of the premise is essentially that Edwin and Emma are put in a situation where he hires her to be his assistant in resolving this mystery.
Yeah, that's because as a lady's companion, she has access to a whole different kind of set of people. So he's at the house party more than capable of investigating what's going on with the men.
But he can't investigate what's happening with the ladies.
Exactly. So he's like, actually, you're in a perfect position. He knows they're kind of all cards on the table from right at the start in like chapter two. And he knows that she needs the money.
She's put really in a desperate situation.
She's just like, you know what? Let's go for it.
And so you're going to pay me an extraordinary amount of money and write me an amazing reference. And he's like, okay, I need your help. Let's get on with this. And because it is a romance novel as well as a mystery, obviously there's attraction as well as solving the mystery shenanigans.
Correct.
Great. You didn't not interrupt, but that's the end of my spoiler-free recap.
But I feel like I just value added. Like yeah, I didn't have to take over. No,
so that's fine. Cool. And well you're not done. Grumpy well at done. Me for that. Thank you. So now I get to actually say, Kimberly, you're first off the bat.
Oh my God.
Would you recommend I the Wed?
So much pressure. Usually you've already done this before I have to talk. Yes, I would.
Really? So, we haven't talked about this one yet.
We haven't. I just gave you like a little look. I bloody loved it.
Why did you love it?
So I think it helped that you read it first. Yeah. So obviously we had one physical copy of this book. So you read it first. We weren't reading it concurrently. And when you gave me the book, you said to me, there's a little bit of like the paranormaliness in it. So yeah. Again, I don't think it's a spoiler. Emma has like intuition, but that's it. She doesn't have.
And she doesn't trust it anymore because she had a feeling about this ship that she invested everything in.
And it went wrong. Yeah. Whereas normally she was that kind of person who always followed her intuition. Whereas now she's like, no, 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 can't be trusted. So she has quite good intuition. Apart from the Vanza, which is the people who follow this kind of this religion, this like way of these monks, and her kind of little bit of intuition, there's really nothing else mystic.
Well, and the sort of potion thing, recipe book.
Oh, yeah. But that's also just like almost more myth and legend than, like, there's no actual magic. You don't have to buy
or ghosts,
believe.
There's no spirits, there's no wizards or witches.
No. But I did have pre-warning from you that that was like in this book.
Yeah.
The whole thing is kind of ridiculous, but the two characters, Emma and Edwin, are both like, we acknowledge this is ridiculous. Like, he studied the way of the Vanza for many years and was quite good at it and blah, 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 but was like, this is not for me. I want to rejoin the real world. Some of this is a little bit.
I'm just going to focus on making lots of money.
Exactly. And she is very practical and pragmatic. Like, at one point she's like, I think you might be crazy, but you know what? You are going to pay me a fortune. I'm going to need you to write my reference first, though, because this seems like it could go sideways at any moment. So I really appreciated that on both sides for them.
Yep.
The romance happens almost as a sidebar.
So we've talked about this in previous novels where it's a mystery and a romance, and the romance gets in the way. Did it get in the way of the mystery?
No. Mm. I feel like the mystery was more the point. So I think with authors, when they want to write a romance and then they add a mystery on for no reason, the mystery, like that, they clash.
Yeah.
One kind of handbrakes the other off and on. Whereas this was clearly, she had like this idea of this organization and these potions and these characters, and then just made two of them fall in love. And the attraction's there and it's all kind of makes sense. But I guess it doesn't get in the way for me because neither of them have to lose or give up who they are. They work well together. They're a good team.
It's about also, them being a team, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Also, they're attracted to each other. So it kind of just gets dealt with. It just gets dealt with as being kind of a fact. And they kind of have to pose for a little while as engaged, which, again, I don't think is a spoiler. I'm not going to tell you any more about it than that. But that then brings them kind of closer together again. So it's just, it just happens organically and kind of in a way that's really believable.
The mystery enabled the romance.
Yes, that's it. I feel like that kind of just, it just worked. It worked really well, and I really enjoyed the characters. I cannot stress enough how ridiculous it is. Like, this book made me just smile and laugh out loud and was fun. I really had such a fun time reading it. And I haven't read all of Amanda Quick. I have probably only read maybe two of her
books.
There's
the one that we can't remember the title of, but had something to do with hats, where we first discovered her sitting next to Julia Quinn.
Yes.
And this one. These are the only two we've read.
And this book made me go and read another of hers. So I am actually now in the process. I'm halfway through reading one of her contemporary books, and I'm actually simultaneously reading. So this one, I don't know if we mentioned, we didn't mention it, and I don't know if you know, but it's actually the second in a series of three called the Venza series.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Or the Vanga. It might be, it's either Vanga.
No,
I think it's Venza.
It's Venza.
I think I'm thinking of Vanga because of Vanga Boys. But yeah, so I actually have gone back and I'm reading the first one.
That's
in
so
this
funny.
Series.
All right. Well,
because I really enjoyed it. I'm not enjoying the first one as much, but that's how much I liked this book. So yeah, this is not a recommendation for everything she's written or even for the first one in this series, but this particular book, loved it.
And I didn't realize there was a series, so I would say that you don't need to read the series to be able to read either.
I'm halfway through the first one of those as well at the moment, and it's totally standalone.
Yeah. All right.
Amy, what about you? Would you, again, we haven't talked about it. I feel like
except
I'm so
enthusiastic.
Except for
me saying it's a bit paranormal. It's a bit mystical in it.
Yes.
Yeah. And silly.
And you said it was silly.
Yes.
So I feel like I went into it knowing what it was and ready for what it was. And because of that, I really enjoyed it. I think if I'd picked it up expecting it to be a straight Regency romance, I still would have really enjoyed it, but only because this is right in my sweet spot of like farcical, silly romp. This is my favorite kind of romp, I guess, for me.
So I would totally agree. It was a romp. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really fast paced.
I agree.
It moved so quickly. It was a quick read. It was just so silly. There were moments of humor in it. So much was like contrived to push things together and make things happen, but it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
Like the amount of cupboards that there are. Emma, I really liked as a character.
Yep.
She hits a couple people on the head with saucepans, which I really enjoyed.
She's a doer of things. She's not a waiter for things to happen.
No,
to
she's
her.
Just so practical.
And when he sort of goes, God, just stop doing things. I just want you to do this one thing. She's like, I need to earn my wage because I need you to pay me the wage. And he's like, I will. Just
like,
stop doing anything.
So their dynamic was really entertaining.
Yeah.
The reference joke. I enjoyed
so
that.
So good. I really liked that too.
And what I also enjoyed about it was that really, for all intents and purposes, the period it was set in was completely irrelevant.
Oh, yeah.
It had,
because they sit outside the ton.
They sat completely outside the ton. They did go to balls and things like that, but it wasn't really something that occurred within Regency ballrooms or things like that.
I think because they were already ruined, like reputation or whatever really – like they talk about it a bit as the virtue problem, but that's only because when she was – a companion, being a lady's
in
companion.
In a previous position, she was sacked. This is said in like the first chapter when we meet her. She was sacked because her employer felt her virtue had been compromised. Her current employer hired her because she has a knack for writing excellent references.
Yes.
For herself.
The benefit of them operating, both of the characters existing kind of outside of the world of the ton, because she's a companion, so kind of on the fringes, he's illegitimate, also kind of on the fringes, was that you got this really interesting perspective of the ton as a group of people that particularly, I think, because I'm like rewatching season one of Bridgerton and that kind of stuff, you don't really get, it's kind of always portrayed in this romanticized kind of glittering way, right? Whereas this
the
book.
The heir to this fortune, blah, 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 his lordship, Viscount,
gentlemen,
blah, blah, yeah.
Gentlemen and, you know, swanky clubs and ladies with beautiful clothes and rah, rah, rah. Whereas this was very much like our hero will be walking along the streets watching young ton men go and like go off and find women to seduce or treat badly. Like it was very much about the way the ton exploits other people.
And all of the characters in it, with the exception of his grandmother, were not what they seem.
Absolutely.
So they'd worked their way into a particular position in society.
But it was this idea that it was all very shallow. It was really shallow. And they talk a lot about, like, there are no gentlemen. There are no gentlemen in the ton at all. They're all people who will take advantage of people in positions of society that are lower than theirs.
And that's her experience.
Absolutely. It's everybody's experience. And the thing that I found really fascinating about it was, and I don't think this is a spoiler because it's like one scene that's not kind of pivotal to the plot, but one of the characters, a strong female character who's like a leader of the ton, she has a manservant, like a footman, who's her personal footman, and he is like big and bulky.
He's
and
sort
like
of like
big,
a bodyguard
arms.
Is how he's portrayed.
And like, you know, really buff and strong and huge and rah, rah, rah. And so there's this scene where they're all kind of sitting around and he's serving the tea because it's her desire that he does that. So he's serving the tea. And all of the other ton women in the room are like, ooh, would you lend him to me? Can I see if he's big everywhere? And are like groping him and talking to her about whether or not they can borrow him for the night and blah, blah, blah. And because we see all of this behavior, so the male behavior we view through Edwin, who is outside the ton and has a very low opinion of gentlemen of the ton. Right?
He's a gentleman, but he's not a gentleman.
Exactly. And the female behavior we view through Emma, who also sits outside
as a companion
and has seen what happens, not just from the bad behavior of the men, but the enabling of that behavior by the women, or that behavior happening in exactly the same way against like footmen and stable boys and stuff like that. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that kind of different look at this small group of people with all this money and all this time and all this power and this perception of being considerably better than everybody else and the bad behavior that led to, which as like kind of the student of history that I am, rings a lot more true than this much more kind of
magical,
sparkly, romanticized sort of version of it. So yeah, I loved that, which I think for me also created a really authentic world that this happened. It was really silly. So
it was handled really well.
It was funny.
Really entertaining.
It was entertaining
it
and
was
nice.
Action packed. There was nothing in it that made me dislike either of them. I enjoyed their company as characters.
And they seem to enjoy each other's, like genuinely seem to enjoy each other's company as well.
And the other thing I liked is it didn't pretend to be something that it wasn't.
Agreed.
It just set out from the very beginning with that first chapter that's a bit like mystical, that this was going to be a bit of a silly book. And I was like, I'm so ready for that.
Me too. I was so there for it. And though there were moments towards the end, like
There were moments, like romance moments.
And also
and
like genuine moments of character growth.
Yeah, there were.
I'm not saying it was shallow. Yeah, right. Okay,
in terms of characters. Yeah, okay. But it was something where like if you're expecting there to be like, you know, they're going to go to a ball and there's going to be gossips, whispers and dancing scenes and talking. That's not at all what you're going to get. The characters in it are
the characters
all
in
operating
it meet,
slightly outside of society.
And they meet hiding in a cupboard accidentally at the same time.
Yes, and I just
that's in the second chapter.
That made me laugh.
That
was
so
silly.
The greatest. I loved it so much. So good.
So I would very much, I mean, the title, Ivy Wed, has
nothing to do with anything.
I would probably have called it Ivy Trust. I don't know. So don't expect a huge amount of romantic talk.
Well,
the
also,
pretends.
The romance is not the driving force of this
no.
book. There isn't an arbitrary obstacle or lack of communication or anything like that. It's, for the most part, just a, they're very busy.
It's fun. And because of that.
It's so fast-paced. Yeah, there's so much happening.
So I would say you will have a really good time reading this book, and it's something that I'll definitely read again because
such a treasure.
It will fit a particular mood.
Yes. So for me, total treasure.
Yeah, I'll treasure it. It's so silly.
I loved it. And it was such a wonderful find.
I think that's why I treasure it, because it is silly. It was quick. It wasn't overly emotionally.
It was Amanda quick.
It wasn't emotionally or intellectually taxing. And as a result, I really enjoyed it.
I found it emotionally nourishing. Like, at the end of it, I just was happy and smiley, and I just really had a fun time. Mm. Go out and read it. It's terrific. Highly recommend. Join us next week when we will bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and potentially glowing recommendations for whatever we read that week. And until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.